Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
As we look to deep dive into all things to do with the legal fraternity and business case, we speak to a very good friend of the show. Usually I hear him in conversation with Sizwe on Seize the World, giving us legal expertise and insight, but we thought tonight we'd keep him up for a little longer. Mpumelelo Zikalala, legal analyst, to give us some lessons that we can learn and key themes to be mindful of regarding the Nkosana Makate Please Call Me case with Vodacom. Such a pleasure to have you with us tonight, Zikalala. Sawubona.
Sanbonang and Bengalele, greetings to you and also greetings to your listeners.
Thank you so much. Excited to have you with us tonight, because this is definitely a conversation that has been top of mind for South Africans, not only for years on end, but definitely in the last 24 hours. I guess before we go into the timeline, as a legal expert, your reaction and response when you saw the announcement being made yesterday, settlement out of court, I assume that didn't surprise you too much.
Not at all, especially after what happened a few weeks ago when the 13 million rands tax bill came in. One was sort of persuaded to say maybe it was used as a sweetener. Parties came together and said it doesn't help us to fight this legal battle. We want this matter to come to finality. We don't want it to come to our books as continuous liability as Vodacom. It makes us look bad when you want investors to come and invest within the entity. Mm. At the same time, for Mr. Makete, you are saying, I need this matter to be solved as soon as possible. For sure, even their liquor reps were saying the bills have been hiking up.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to end up with nothing if you don't settle in this matter. Let's put our heads together and make sure that it's a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. We'll not get the ultimate price, but at the end of the day, let's settle for what we have. And another thing, I think the court shied away from coming to a specific quantum in this matter.
Mm.
There are a number of times in which the court could have decided the quantum, but I think they were saying there's no way for us in determining what the amount ought to be. So the best way to deal with the matter is then to bring it back to the parties and let the parties solve it themselves.
Got you. There's a lot of speculation in terms of the articles that have been published so far, and Bloomberg Intelligence also trying to add up the numbers. And they've been using, you know, the latest announcements from Vodacom as a metric to try to draft their calculations. But I'm quite keen to get your thoughts, you know, just on the valuation. Firstly, determining it has proven to be quite an interesting task. And also, if we take a look at the range of numbers that was quoted, 47 million rand at one point was offered by Vodacom CEO to Makate, and now expectations or speculation is saying just over 500 million rand. Legally, how do you even quantify such a thing?
Well, you basically look at the amount of revenue that has been obtained, minus obviously the expenses that are there. And then you say to yourself, what is the contribution which is made? Obviously, you have to take into account that the services developed from what it was to what at the creation to what it was now. An example of that is that previously you would get a please call me without any adverts. Now there's a please call me with adverts that are there. So what do you do? Do you then take into account the revenue from the adverts? The answer is no. Why? Because that wasn't developed as part of the process. Maybe a certain percentage if you're negotiating on his behalf and say, but if it wasn't for my invention, you wouldn't get this advert that you are now advertising. So let me get a piece of it. Also, look at the input cost of doing it. How much does it cost to create that particular platform, maintenance, and any other security measures that are there? Also take that into account and then determine how things ought to be. So those are the type of negotiations that would go to and fro. But another thing that we can't forget is the legal fees or the fees which are going to be attached in this matter.
Yes.
In the previous occasion, within the three councils that were there, if you look at their cost, minimum would be plus minus 45,000 per day.
Whoa.
Times that by three council, and then times that by a week in terms of preparation in the day of attending trial, you then see the amount which then goes into the legal fees that are there. So I would have presumed that they would have also negotiated those things. And then he is then vis-a-vis and say, how much time and money am I going to spend going back to court with the legal system in South Africa, which sometimes grinds at a very, very slow pace? Let me just settle this matter and then move on with my life, because I do not want to spend another 2 or 3 years or even a decade in court again dealing with the quantum when we've done or been able to decide the merits of the matter.
Mm. Surely they could have settled earlier, I presume. What's your legal opinion on this? Did it have to take 18 years?
Not at all. I think maybe egos would have played a bit of a role. Financial muscle would have also played a bit of a role in terms of saying, let's tire these guys out and see if they'll continue even after we've been to court for a decade. But it could have been settled much, much, much earlier. And when they sit down and evaluate whether they're successful or not, just one thing they shouldn't forget, and they must ask themselves this question. If it was settled earlier, what would have been the amount compared to what is being paid now? So sometimes it's not a matter of who's wrong and right. It's a matter of what can I do in order to make sure that I'm able to solve this matter effectively. I always use this example. Don't use good money to chase bad money. So if you think that you're not going to make as much money as possible, cut your losses as soon as possible, even though you think you should have or you ought to have received much, much more. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of principle sometimes. It's a matter of saying, let me sell this matter for as a matter of convenience so that I can be able to move on with my life.
That's such an interesting perspective, as you say, because it's really about looking at the financial costs at some point and the inconvenience that that does cause. What I'm also keen to understand, as a legal expert, Zikalala, when you take a look at this scenario, there's a lot of legal lessons to learn here, especially from an IP, copyright, ownership, ideation, NDAs, NDAs in terms of disclosures and agreements there. When you look at, I guess, the lessons for Vodacom as an employer and some of the missteps that might have taken place, bearing in mind that there was very different leadership at the time in the organization when Please Call Me was drafted by Makata. What's your take on some of those lessons and outcomes that we might even see corporates implementing today?
I can assure you that within the employment contracts, they've made it very clear. In terms of saying any IP that you create, regardless in what division you are in, as long as you work for Vodacom, belongs to them. Because remember, at the start of this case, one of the things that were disputed, and in effect he won, was to say, even though I work for a different division and I give you these particular ideas, the mere fact that I work for a different division, not the marketing one, it means that I must be credited for the work that I do. Now, in order to close that particular loophole, most of the employment contracts now usually say, as long as you work for the entity, anything that you do will remain ours. It sometimes would extend to say anything that you do within or outside the hours will also remain as ours, just in case, or if that particular invention that you have done is closely linked to the business that you are doing, just to make sure that they cover all these loopholes when it comes to whatever IP which is going to be generated. Another one is a confidentiality clause, which goes hand in hand, that says any information that you gather from this place or this entity or this employer would remain this employer's one, even the ones that you have created. So the thing says, if it wasn't for you working in this particular entity, you wouldn't have been able to know there's a particular solution that you could be able to provide. So anything that you invent on the basis or that you privy to the information in the systems which are available to you by virtue of you working within the entity would remain for that entity. You may find other liberal entities that would say, well, we need to compensate people for their hard work and innovation. So they would say, we're going to give you a certain percentage of whatever revenue that there is, provided that you're able to provide something from a capital basis, not only your intellectual thinking, and then disclose all the information that you have done. But the downside of that, they will then say, give us all the information and make sure that the IP will not be owned by you, and then we'll be able to continue. Another thing that we'll find in most contracts is the restraint of trade, in which they will say, you are working within this particular industry. You are not allowed to work within this particular jurisdiction or radius and have contact with our clients after you have left, whether you've resigned from another job for a period of maybe a year or 2 years. So they would call it a cooling off period. So that whatever information that you've been able to produce that we are privy to after 24 months would have died down. That has proven to be effective, but not that effective because you can't really police what a person is doing outside. And they can work covertly without being known that it's them that are behind the scenes. So it doesn't really work, but it does help in instances where the brand is closely linked to the individual, in which we're able to say, let's cut the individual off from the brand and then maybe they'll regroup a bit later.
I see what you mean. Many might come forward and say, well, you know, we see the shifts and many have experienced the changes as well legally in terms of employment contract. But what impact does this have rather on employees? And I guess especially in terms of talent retention, innovation, ideation, and some might even question, is this even fair given the terms and conditions of employment that have changed?
Not really, because they may say that from an employer-employee relationship, the tables, it's a negotiation, but it's not a fair one, according to me. You're desperately looking for a job, unless if you are in the top tier in that industry that you are in, and you get job offers on a daily basis, then you're able to pick and choose which of the employers you want to go to. But in many employees in which they would come up with these innovative ideas, because remember, they're on the ground, you deal with these things on a regular basis, then you'll find that there's no really room for negotiation. So they'll simply accept whatever that is there just because they can be able to get employment and something extra. And it's less likely where you would find employees which are going to intensivize innovation, especially when you know that whatever that you've created, once you leave the place, will be left with them, and you're not going to get anything else later. So the employees end up getting the rough end of the stick, unfortunately. But many of them use this opportunity to start their own businesses, to say, I've identified an opportunity, I'm going to make sure that I'm using it to the best of my abilities. And part of that is being able to exploit whatever opportunities that come my way. So it does give a bit of a process, a bit of a give and take, depending on how you are able to approach it.
100%. What I'm also quite keen on is, you know, how this also amplifies the concerns regarding intellectual property law in South Africa. And I ask this because many within the creative industry have been ill-equipped or underprepared, or maybe not even aware of the changes and dynamics to IP and copyright law. But how does this, I guess, place a spotlight on the importance of the protection of ideas, ideation, and creative insights?
It calls upon for, in fact, all of us to say, let's be better educated and get knowledge on how IP actually works, especially if the product or the service is already available, because all that you are doing is adding to the innovation that was there. It means you can't get the credit, the 100% credit. The original idea maker or the original originator of that particular service or product still needs to be credited. So in whatever revenue which is going to be made, you still need to give a portion to them. And you'll find that it's a huge portion depending on the level of innovation that you've contributed. And it's not going to assist you in any financial terms. So that's what you must know when you're creating these ideas, to say, it's not mine, it can go at any time. It's purely dependent on another person saying, yes, I'm agreeing to the innovation in which you're adding. So let's take it from there in terms of that innovativeness. I would say in this particular case, it was one of those lucky ones, because if you look at the period in which it came in, it was quite back, 2000, 2001, 2002. If you take the same matter now and take it to court, the chances of getting the same results would be very minimal, taking into account the preventative measures in which employers have engaged in, measures in which intellectual property law has developed to make sure that it's able to protect the originator. But my word to anyone who's saying that I have an idea, before you broadcast and tell people about the idea, please go and look at the intellectual property website. Check what is written there. They come up with very brilliant ideas as to what is an original idea and what is not. Speak to a legal practitioner that is specializing in intellectual property. Pay that for a few thousand rand so that you get the valuable information. And to make sure that the information is left with you, insist on a written opinion. There's also case law which is available. If you look at websites such as Selfie, they will able to point you towards a process of saying, when you are looking at intellectual property, what exactly are we looking at? But the simple wording simply says, if you want to own something as new, as innovative, it mustn't have existed ever before. It must be something which will be able to assist. But the most important part, can you be able to monetize it, make a revenue out of it? If you can, then you've got gold in your hands. But if you can't, you are simply developing something that has been developed by another person or created by another person. The chances of monetizing it to the best of your abilities will be limited, depending on what permission are they able to give you, and also on the market, whether the market is willing to accept it or not.
Sure. We need a masterclass 101, especially for those in the creatives industry. Babuzikalala, siyabonga kakhulu, and thank you so much for sharing your insight with us tonight.
Thank you very much for hosting.
Anytime. That is Mpumelelo Zikalala joining us tonight as a legal expert and analyst, helping us unpack some of the key lessons that we need to be mindful of using the Nkosana Makate. Please call me and Vodacom dynamic in case that has been running for just shy of 20 years. So lots of lessons to learn here, just in terms of the process, the outcomes, the legalities, the shifts in terms of employee and employer relations when it comes to innovation and ideation of ideas. And of course, the commercialization aspect of it too. Lots to discuss. But do share your thoughts and, of course, do keep your messages coming. 063-688-0959 is where you can share your WhatsApps, including the funny ones. I have one from Mkichi Mist. He says, "Hey, Cooks, when Mr. Makate and Vodacom were attending different courts, each party gave us the expected amount. Not sure now that they've settled, all of a sudden it's a private matter, non-disclosure. You baddies are really already trying to get his home address." So we commented that earlier with speculation is rife around what the figure is, right? At some point, Vodacom offered 47 million. Makate said, no ways. And of course, the courts didn't derive a particular figure. But there is an analyst through Bloomberg Intelligence who has tried to do the metrics, basically saying that this particular claim could have cost the company around 550 million rand. That is just speculation. It's not the actual figure. This is just according to Bloomberg Intelligence and some feedback they've had from various analysts, but more specifically, John Davies. And he's done this by taking a look at the expected earnings from Vodacom, given an announcement that they made. Their results will be released next week, and then a revision in terms of their profits being higher, but not as high as what we initially thought it would be. So that's where the numbers actually come from. It's not a thumbsuck exercise, but rather a senior industry analyst, John Davies, who's tried to put together the numbers. But again, Vodacom has not confirmed. Makate himself has not confirmed, and will likely get some kind of clarity when the results are published next week. But yes, share your thoughts, 063-688-0959. It's a lot of money either way that has been paid out, and we don't have any clarity on it yet, but the expectation and the speculation is around 550 million rand. That's a lot of money. Even if it was 5 million rand, the baddies would still be around, wouldn't they? But let us know. And that's a whole nother conversation to have. Jobs. Let me know. I was watching a few episodes of the Showmax documentary on Slay Queens and Baddies, and whew, that's a whole nother economy. See, when I say business isn't boring, there truly is a business story in everything. Share your thoughts though. 063-688-0959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.